You know, this is how it is for us as Christians, because we are changed people and we are in the world, but we have to keep a distance between ourselves and the world. Can you please turn your Bibles to 1 John 2, chapter 2, looking at verses 15 and to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, two things strike me in this portion of Scripture. One, we should never give our hearts to the world. We shouldn't look for joy and peace in the world, but we should look forward to heavenly things. And another thing that strikes me is in verse 17, if we could read it over. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And the thing that strikes me is the will of God. God's will. Like, we try and get the kids to think about their position in life and what they have done, and to make plans for the future. This is just a stumbling block. And now they have to change that around. And the thing about it is that sometimes we make plans, but some things are out of our control because God is in control. And the thing about it, one day I'll remember the director of the program, Greg Thompson, was telling the story of how he knew a boxer. And he said that one night the boxer and his friend were taking a ride out on the highway, just going out one night, and the car broke down. So they pulled off to the side of the highway. And later that night, Greg was just coming out the shower. He got a phone call from a friend, and his friend said, "Hey, Greg, man, I know it's late. I'm sorry to bother you, but can you go help out the boxer? He got in his car broke down. Can you give him a jump start and give him a ride home?" So Greg says, "You know, okay." So he gets dressed, and as soon as he's about to go to the door, the phone rings. So he says, "Oh man, who could this be at this time?" So he goes, picks up the phone, and it's his friend again. He says, "You know what, Greg, sorry I bothered you at this time of night. You know what, I'm closer. I'll go and get him." So at the car scene, whatever, you have one guy holding the flashlight, and the boxer's looking down, and one guy's to the side, and their backs is turned to the traffic. The car's coming this way. Car comes, hits the guy with the flashlight. He spins, hits him in his arm, and it carries the boxer away. Unfortunately, the boxer died that night, and the guy with the flashlight just got injured. But I'll never forget this. Greg turned to the group and said, "Now, was it luck or was it faith that I wasn't there that night? Was it God's plan for me not to be there because I would have died? Or he was thinking, maybe I could have saved their lives if I was there because I'm a safety cautious type of person." But besides all that, the point is, he had no control over the situation. It was all in God's plan. And when we were doing this, the way we connected this to what we're trying to get to the kids to know is that he has a plan for them. He has a plan for all of us. He didn't make these kids to go out and smoke weed and intoxicate their bodies. That isn't his will. He didn't make them to go around shooting people. That isn't his will at all. He didn't make them to become drug dealers. That isn't his will. God has a will for all of us. All of them have the potential to be something and do something productive with their lives. And that's what we're trying to tell them to do. You see, the program has been in effect for many years, and Greg has worked with over 500 kids, I believe. And the cycle goes on. Like, every time you get a new group of kids who come in with different crimes. And when I started, it was a new set of kids. And every time you get a new set of kids, they're always like, oh, I don't want to do this, or this thing is stupid. Why are we doing this? And that's how it was for me. And it was very hard at first, but God saw us through and saw me through for this new experience. And when the group, we just kept on sticking to telling them what they had to do, and eventually it started to sink in their heads when they went on the camping trip. And the main theme about that was crossing over into manhood, taking responsibility for their actions. And if you would turn to Luke chapter 17, from verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And he lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And the kids learned this portion of scripture and related it to themselves. They accept the fact that they have made a mistake. But now it's up to them to change their life around and to move forward and go back into society. And they, through this program, it has allowed them to do that. All they have to do is have perfect attendance, show change in their life, community service, and that's about it. And the main thing that this we were trying to get across to them was that they should also be thankful. Thankful for God that they didn't end up being killed as a result of carrying around a gun. Thankful to God that they didn't have to live with the burden of taking someone else's life. Thankful to God to be alive and healthy. And in the same way, I believe that we as Christians should be thankful that God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. For the many mistakes we have made, we're given many chances.
Good evening. How are we doing? tonight I'm going to be talking about having joy in the midst of the storm, particularly to, you know, when you spread the gospel to unbelievers. I'm sure many of you here know that I'm a piano teacher, and I've been teaching for, this will be my second year teaching lessons. Previously to that, though, I was working at a nursing home in Wall, at a Tower Lodge nursing home. Many of y'all know my mother works there. She's a CNA. And during that time I was working there, my position was a dietary aide. And in case anyone here don't know what that is a dietary aide. Basically, their description was to set up trays, juices, and desserts based on the residents' diets, you know. And also, I would also watch the dishes as well, you know. And, you know, That, you know, that's why I don't mind washing dishes at home now. But, you know, and it was, you know, one thing I did enjoy my job, even though it was hard. I was a very energetic kind of person. But every day as I, you know, went to work, I would always try to glorify God in everything I do, you know, so that people around me would know that there's something worth living for. And a lot of times a lot of times people would, would look at me and see that there's something different about this guy. And a lot of times they were curious. They would ask me questions. And whenever I had a chance, I would always, you know, tell them of the gospel and how there's a God that loves them and how he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for their sins, you know. And as funny as it is, I know I'm a very shy person, you know, at work, I was a very direct person, maybe too aggressive. when it came to spreading the gospel, I'd be always talking about the Lord, you know, and always be talking about things in the Bible, because I really wanted people to really, you know, accept Jesus Christ into their lives, you know, because a lot of them were blinded. They don't realize that, you know, the things they were living for is just going to lead them one way. And that's hell, you know, But it turns out a lot of times when I'd be there living for the Lord and glorifying him and worshiping him and talking about him, you know, I would run into a lot of different kinds of people and I would get a lot of different kinds of feedback and responses, you know. You know, you would have those kind of people that are very open-minded. They're like, oh yes, I believe what you're saying, you know, and you would show them scriptures in the word and, you know, and we would talk for hours. And they would be open minded. They look willing to change, but there was just something inside their heart that's just blocking them. That they were clinging to, that they didn't want to accept, you know, Jesus in their heart. And then you also meet that bunch of people where they're very argumentative, you know. And I had a lot of that. You would probably wouldn't believe it. I used to argue with a lot of people for hours in the kitchen, and you know. People that used to work in activities used to come and say, what are you arguing about? You know, this is a workplace. You shouldn't be talking about God and politics in here. You know, and, you know, but, you know, and I would argue with them and I would show them scriptures and I showed them scriptures as light as day. And it just seemed no matter how hard, you know, I would show them, they just wanted to believe what they wanted to believe, you know. Then you have those kind of people that know the truth, and a lot of them knew the truth, you know. They say, yeah, I believe in God. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. And, you know, then they'll say that to you, but obviously they weren't living like that. They were living for themselves and they were living for the world. You know, as Tarek read from John, you know, if anyone loves the world, how can the love of the Father be in him? You know, and there were so many people out there, even now today, that they think it's okay to try to live a double lifestyle, you know, and they're trying, they think it's okay. Oh, I could read the Bible here and go to church, but then I could do what I want. But it's not that so. Cause if you love God, you're going to hate the things of this world. You can't love both, you know. And I would show them a lot of time, and a lot of time I would get negative feedback as always, you know. And a certain time, there came a time where I was going through a situation where I just felt like almost the world was against me. Because here I was spreading the gospel, and then people just hated me because, you know, I'm speaking the truth, you know. And it was weird. Like these people, I would show love and compassion. They would see, you know, that I'm not trying to play no tricks on them, you know, and yet these people would do such evil things to me, you know, and, you know, I had situations where people were manipulating me, being that they knew I was a believer and they knew what I stand for. They start playing these mind games, you know, And when that happens, it's kind of hard to preach. It's kind of hard to have that joy and preach the gospel when people are trying to manipulate you and get the best of you. I had people that were using me for money. I had people that were, you know, calling out, doing all kinds of stuff because they know I'm a hard worker. I'm going to do that job anyway. And they were just, you know, they were trying. And then I even had people that were trying to get me fired. And I'm there looking at, and these are the same people I help. I'm like, I'm saying to myself, what is going on? I'm in shock, you know, I'm like, you know, huh, you know, and you know, I couldn't understand. I was like, God, help me to understand. Here I am, I'm living for you. I'm helping these people. I'm trying to show them, you know, I'm trying to show them your son through love. And here I'm just like, I'm getting slapped in the face, you know, I couldn't understand it, you know, and I would, a lot of times I would talk with, you know, other people. And he said, "Oh, you're so soft, man. You know, there's also believers at where I work too, and they would say, I could never do that. You're fool. I would never let them walk on me like that. Are you crazy? You know, I even had a time where, I had a conflict over the music because, every morning I would go to work, I would always have to hear their satanic music, you know, music that just is not glorifying God. And I would never touch their volume. I would never touch any, you know, do what you want, you know, cause as Tarek said, we're in the world, but you know, we're not of it, you know, but whenever I go to put my gospel CD on, there's some problem. Either there's someone turning down my volume, you know, or something. And, you know, and it's, I see Satan, demonic, probably just trying to work against me, you know? And people are just waiting for me to let the flesh seep out, you know, to retaliate, you know, but, you know, thank God, you know, I listened to him and he just said, just be patient and just still have the joy, you know, but it's, you know, it's very difficult. And then I also had another occasion where my boss, you know, guy I was working for, you know, prayed for him too. And I always tell him about the Lord. And, you know, one time he came to me and say, "Oh, Paul, you know, today, because, you know, I was doing such a good job, you know, you get to play anything you want today. You get, you know, turn to whatever you want to listen." And so I was like, I'm there saying to myself, "Are you serious?" You know, like that's what Diego always say. And so I was so happy. And so I turned to, I think it was 94.7, and I was so happy. And not even 2 minutes, mark my words, not even 2 minutes, my boss turned it off. So then I confronted him and I said, "What happened? Why'd you turn off? Why'd you turn off the music? Why'd you turn off, you know, what?" He said to me, "Oh, Paul, I can't listen to that. I just can't listen to that. And I'm there looking at him, "But you, just a minute ago, you said I could turn to anything." You know, I was just so mad. I couldn't understand. You know, I wanted to actually take, my flesh was saying to me, "Paul, take that radio and just smash it down. You know, just take that and just smash it, you know." But, you know, I just wanted to walk right out of there. That's what my flesh is, you know, saying. And then, you know, and then, but yeah, God said, you know, just have the joy and just, you know, keep preaching for him, you know, and it was hard. And, you know, and I just, a lot of times, like I said, I would just look at the circumstances, and from a fleshly attitude, you just want to retaliate. It's just natural. But then God said, you know, have joy. And I would think back on these verses. If you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading from verse 14 through 18. "But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And so as I read these verses and other verses, I remember that, you know, we as believers, we need to be happy all the time when we spread the word. And we shouldn't be in shock. It shouldn't come to a shock to us. We should expect that, because it happened to our Lord and Savior, Christ, or Jesus Christ. You know, when he left the glories of heaven and came down to the sin-cursed earth, he did everything perfect. I mean, it was the fairest of 10,000, you know. He healed the blind man, healed the sick, raised the dead. You know, surely everything he did pointed to who he was, that he was God. They saw it. And yet, this same man was the same man they crucified. And he said, "Give me Barabbas. We'd rather have Barabbas." So it was then that I realized if they persecute my, you know, my Lord, they're going to persecute me, you know, and I can't look at, so I can't expect, expected to be different, you know. I mean, we as believers, a lot of time we like to think that, okay, yeah, because we have God in our hearts and, you know, we believe everything's going to be like a walk in the picnic, you know, there's going to be no problems, you know, but that's not the case. You know, every day is a spiritual warfare and we have to go in a day to day battle, you know. And so, you know, so I continue to, you know, show a smile, and I continue to, tell people about the Lord. And a lot of times I actually invite a lot of my unsaved friends when we had special events, sort of like the that one year where we had the Christmas play, and Diego, I mean, Jim and Joe, they were the wise men. I was Leroy, some cowboy. I don't remember my lines. And I invited them there. I really wanted them to show. I thought they were going to show. They told me, yeah, we're going to come. But, you know, but they never came, you know. Then I invited them to the times where, you know, me, Diego, Jim and Joe played here for special music. I tried on many occasions, and they just never came. And a lot of times I would get discouraged, and I feel like I would say to myself, oh, am I talking to a warlord? I mean, I would feel like it's in vain sometimes. You ever felt like that way? Like when you tell people about Christ and you tell them so much because you just want them to have the same energy you have, you know, that you want them to, you know, to see that life is worth living, and you just no response. They just want to live their own way. And a lot of times you say to yourself, and a lot of times the enemy will tell you, why even tell them? Why even bother? They're not listening to you. It's like you're talking to a wall. Why even bother? You know, and you know, sometimes I would get discouraged, you know, and then that's the second thing I wanted to discuss today is that, you know, not only should we be happy when we spread the word of God, but we shouldn't be discouraged as well. But we should keep on encouraging ourselves to preach the word, because look at our Lord Jesus Christ when he came and he taught people, he spoke words of truth and life. A lot of them didn't accept them. You know, they saw the miracles he did right straight with their own eyes, saw everything, and yet they still choose not to follow him, you know? And I'm sure, Jesus, I'm sure his heart was stirred just like ours is when we want to bring an unbeliever to Christ. But we still shouldn't be discouraged. We should still continue on in the faith, you know? And a lot of times, you know, besides, you'll never know, maybe years from now, that person that you told about the Lord, whether it be at work or wherever, you know, years from now, they might look back and say, I remember that guy that, you know, he was washing the dishes, he was singing songs. I remember that. And who knows, maybe he'll come to the Lord, and then maybe he'll lead other people to the Lord. You never know. And besides, salvation is through God anyway. It's God that does the work, not us, you know. A lot of times we like to tell ourselves, oh, we got to do it. But it's God that does all the saving, you know. And a lot of times that also helps me encourage, what helps me encourage me, a lot of times I'll think of Noah, you know. When, you know, he was a man of God, and God told Noah that for 40 days and for 40 nights, it would rain. And during that process, you know, Noah goes, him and seven other people of his family, they go build this huge ark for 120 years. That's like almost two lifetimes. 120 years. And so every day as he's working on this ark, not only is he working, probably working more hours than me and you do, but he's also preaching to the people, the whole world, that it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And not one person believed in him. Not one person. And I would say to myself, that's weird. God, why would you allow Noah and his family to build an ark for 120 years? And you know all things, you know, past, present, future. You knew that no one was going to believe. And yet you have him build this ark, preaching to them for 120 years. I couldn't understand that. And, you know, and God's telling me it's because he loves them, you know. He wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to him. And despite that, for 120 years, no one believed. Noah still preached, working on the ark. And as Apostle Paul said, we as believers, we're obligated to spread the gospel no matter what, you know. And so I just wanted to close with just a thought on 2 Peter again, chapter 4. And I just want to say, you know, we as believers, we should also look forward to that day when he's coming back, you know. For as Apostle Paul would say, none of the sufferings we face today can be worthy or can even be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us when we will see him face to face. I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 4, and then I'm going to read from verses 12 through 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another night, Lord, where we can come together and gather here as the body of Christ, Lord, and just come and say thank you for everything you've done, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for giving us breath of life, Lord. We thank you particularly, though, for the bread of life, and that he left the splendor of glories and came down to the sin-cursed earth to bleed and to die for us, Lord. We can't understand it, Lord, that it was our sin that put you there, Lord. And we can't understand that you would stay on the cross, Lord, because you loved us so much. Lord, we can't understand that. But yet, Lord, we would just like to show our appreciation in everything we do, Lord. And that's included in spreading the word to those that don't know you, Lord. And just letting our light shine so that people might know that there is a God that loved them and that he sent his son and that he rose on the third day and that one day he's coming back again to bring peace and justice to this world. Lord, we just ask that whatever we do, Lord, help us not to lose sight of that joy, Lord, but help us to be more joyful, Lord. For as your word says, Lord, that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. So as we partake in your son's suffering, Lord, help us to get a deeper appreciation and also a deeper motivation to follow you in everything, Lord. Just help us to honor and love you above everything, Lord. We just commit this time now in your son's most precious name, anticipating his return. We give glory now in the name that's above all names, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.